Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hello and welcome to Honey & Co. The Food Sessions. I'm Sarit Packer.
I'm Itamar Srulovic, and we have a special Christmas treat for you guys, a special episode for your listening pleasure. We have an episode that we recorded with Yotam Ottolenghi and the Ottolenghi Test Kitchen.
Woohoo!
If you don't know the Ottolenghi brand, then you've probably been living under a rock for the last 20 years. They have amazing delis and restaurants in London, era-defining cookbooks.
We were very lucky to be a part of the Ottolenghi company many years ago now, before we opened our own business. We worked there, both of us, for quite a long time, and we have always had huge passion and interest in how they're growing their brand, the delicious food. And this progression into the Ottolenghi Test Kitchen, we find absolutely fascinating. It's a group of people that are working together in a really kind of inspirational environment to create the new recipes, to push the brand forward, but also to kind of test the limits of food from all over the world. And we were really excited to hear more about it.
The Ottolenghi Test Kitchen have two books out now, Shelf Love and Extra Good Things.
We spoke to Verena Lochmuller, to Noor Mourad, and of course to Yotam Ottolenghi back in the summer, just before their book came out.
So you can sit back, grab yourself a little snack and enjoy.
Hello, everyone. Tell us a bit about the team. What is the OTK?
Noor, you want to take it?
Well, the Ottolenghi Test Kitchen is not a new thing. It's been around for a little over a decade when Yotam first founded it, creating recipes for The Guardian and all his different cookbooks. But especially over the last 2 years, it's been slowly expanding. And we kind of wanted to create a way for people to see what is happening at the Ottolenghi Test Kitchen, all the different characters and people and chefs involved. This kind of was propelled in the pandemic, and that's where our first OTK book came to life. I don't know, Verena, do you want to talk about the different faces in the test kitchen?
Well, we've got Chaya, who we call her a ray of sunshine. She really is. She's always upbeat and positive, and she comes from Mauritius originally, and she brings with her such an amazing use of spices, and her culinary background is really interesting. And then we've got Jake, who's the latest edition. I called him a hipster yesterday and he didn't like it, so I won't call him that again. But he totally is.
He is kind of a hipster.
He is. Oh my God. The tucking of the socks and the trout. Anyway.
It's good you're not telling it to the rest of the world, Verena, like you promised him yesterday.
Giving it to yourself, yeah.
Outside voice, Verena.
Jake, so sorry. He's great. He's the latest edition. He's very sort of adventurous in his cooking style, and then he's just great. And then there's Jens, who works with me on the pastry side. He's an amazing pastry chef and just all-round great colleague.
Are you pastry, Verena? Like, mostly, I don't know you at all. I've met Noor, and obviously I know Yotam, but I don't know anything about you so much.
So I am trained as a pastry chef. So that's what I was doing at Ottolenghi. I was working in the delis. Then I joined the test kitchen, and I sort of oversee the bagged products, the sweet products in our shops.
Verena is very modest about her contribution, because I mean, she's in charge of the bagged products, you know, like she just does the most incredible pastries. I mean, she's the most creative pastry chefs, and she can, you know, roll doughs and make pie crusts. And we just had across the corridor where I am now in the test kitchen, She just made this incredible mushroom cobbler with celeriac and urfa chili and tarragon. It was just like to die for. So she can really cook and bake incredibly well.
The package.
Yes, she really is. The
whole package. everything Verena makes feels like a warm hug.
Aww. It really does. And these are kind of the cooking part of the test kitchen. Then there's a lot going on in the test kitchen. Apart from recipe development, we do for The Guardian, for The New York Times, for the books. But also we work a lot with the delis and the shops in terms of development. So that's what Jens does with Verena. And we're kind of like the hub of creativity. So there's a lot going on behind the scene, which Gitai and Clodagh are very much involved. The online things that we do, we had a lot of YouTube videos recently, so we were doing those as well. So it's a kind of like where the company meets the publication arm. So there is all the publication, but also there's a lot of recipe development for the delis. And you guys might still remember, you know, the chef meetings, etc. We hold them here as well. So chefs come from the restaurants to present their ideas or to try things when we have a new seasonal menu. So it's really the creative hub for the whole company.
So at some point, there was a kind of transition from a physical workplace, the test kitchen, into something that exists in the public sphere. Something that's, you know, I hate to use that word, but like a brand, something that people engage with.
Yeah.
Was that a conscious decision or was that something very organic that happened?
It kind of came out of COVID, really, because now we're in Holloway Road. On Holloway Road, we used to be in Camden. And it's a very intimate environment where, you know, there's conversations about food happening all the time and people offer their ideas, etc. And it's a very creative space and it really relies on the people being there in the space together. And when COVID hit and everybody went home and had to start working and testing recipes from home, this was interrupted, like broken from one day to the next, like so many other things in the world. So if we're not in the same room together, we might as well kind of do what a lot of people did, talk to the world via social media. So immediately within like a couple of weeks from lockdown, we started doing Instagram videos, like little demos and public conversations, which we were kind of having behind the scenes anyway before that. So it really is the result of that.
I mean, I'm quite interested in this whole aspect of how do you work together? I mean, it's a group of extremely talented people and you each have a voice, but you're all there to create kind of an Ottolenghi style. This is kind of a phrase that I think has been going on for many, many years. It's definitely, even in our days, which is a long time ago, sadly, like to not admit our ages, but more than 10 years ago, it was already then referred to as kind of Ottolenghi style. How do you keep that? How do you keep a personal input that you're excited about and a creative input, but also keep it within a team and a theme?
I think Noor has just written a great introduction to the next OTK book, and she really captures that really, really well. She talks about like, what does it mean to Ottolenghify something, you know, the verb, you're like, how do you Ottolenghify something? And Noor, I don't remember all the things that you listed, but there is a kind of like a menu of options. You know, there is a lot of delicious vegetables to choose from. And there is a sense of abundance and generosity in the way that things are presented and they're in the delis or just on the plate. It's really difficult because we grapple with this all the time, whether it's Ottolenghi enough or not. It's a question we actually ask ourselves all the time.
I attempted to define the word Ottolenghify, which needs to be added onto Urban Dictionary. I think Ottolenghi as a brand is constantly changing and evolving. So you can't just say Middle Eastern food. It's more than that. It's veggie heavy, abundant, inviting plates that have Middle Eastern flavors dotted through and always have some kind of special touch, whether it's like a special sauce or a little sprinkle, just like an element of surprise. That you're like, oh, that's what sets it apart. And the important thing that makes Ottolenghi Ottolenghi is all the different chefs that have worked in the company throughout the years. And they've all left their own influences and their own experiences and their own tastes. And I think what Yetam does pretty well is that he invites all these different new tastes and fresh takes on things. And it becomes part of Ottolenghi. And I think Ottolenghi is like all of these things combined.
Yes, that's right.
It's still something that's really, really hard to pin down. And when you have these conversations in sort of a creative setting, maybe. How does it work? How do you divide the labor and how do you reach the conclusions?
Noor runs the test kitchen, so she's very much in charge of this particular process. But for The Guardian, for example...
The taskmaster.
She doesn't look it, but she does it. I mean, it's... So if Chaya at the moment is doing the Guardian columns, Noor guides her through it and they brainstorm, etc. But essentially, she's kind of charged with those recipes. So she takes ownership on them. And it's really important. Now it's like completely my nature. Like, what is it that you're achieving here and what do you want to cook? And Chaya, well, she's come from Mauritius. So that's kind of a particular set of spices and flavors that she works with. There's pineapple and there's coconuts and there's spices and there's, you know, curry flavors, etc. Doesn't mean you don't go and say, okay, well, that's not quite there yet. Or how do we turn it in a particular direction? Maybe we simplify it. Maybe we make it more approachable, etc., etc. But that sense of ownership is really, really important because in the end, that's what makes the dish good. If someone kind of gave it, it's a bit soppy, but you need to give it the love, you know, that it needs to get.
Yeah.
And I think the best formula for that is just let people run with their ideas.
I mean, you need to have quite thick skin to do recipe development because you need to be able to take criticism quite severely. And, you know, even if you're cooking your heart out, someone is going to taste it potentially and say to you, well, yeah, but it can be better or we can work on that. Have you like developed, I almost want to call it like a code of behavior between you, or are you just very honest and kind of brutally...
We are very honest. We're quite brutal in the test kitchen.
So you're like, oh, garbage.
Oh, no. But we all know what it is that we're looking for, what the end result is, because we've worked there long enough that we understand kind of the food language. And even though, as Yotam says, it's very individual work, like you have an idea. For example, we brainstorm for a Guardian column. The column is orange. We have to come up with three recipes that celebrate oranges. Jake will have an idea and Chai will have an idea and, you know, or Verena might have a dessert and each of them will create it. Usually it will take anywhere from 3 attempts to maybe 10 if it's something that you're really struggling with. But together you make it and then together we all taste it as a team. You grab someone, you say, hey, can you taste this with me? Give me your opinion. You know, it doesn't have to be like a whole committee involved. Like if it's not there yet, you just need that one person to be like, I know it's missing something. Sometimes it's just like, hey, it needs a bit of acid, and then it transforms a dish. Sometimes it totally doesn't work, and you kind of also have to know that, like, actually, this worked way better in my mind than it does actually on this plate.
Yeah, that happens a lot. Sometimes that's the missing link. That cobbler, actually, Yotam, is a perfect example. The base of the recipe is there, which is delicious, but then it's like, oh, it's missing something, and then, you know, Yotam, so it's a mushroom... cobbler. So cobbler is actually quite sort of an American thing, right? With the sort of cobblestone topping, and it's a savory version, and it's with orfa and, you know, earthy mushrooms and everything. And then Yotam's like, oh, do you know what would be nice? You know, let's finely chop some preserved lemon into the base, you know, and that's that extra special thing. And I totally hadn't thought of it. And it's like, oh my God, yeah, that I think that will really elevate the dish. So you have to be open. And that's what we do with each other's recipes all the time. Like, we're just open to all these kind of suggestions.
I remember when I first started working at Test Kitchen, I used to get quite shy of presenting things that I hated to Yotam. So there was this one corner, like, by the old fridge that, like, anything we didn't, I didn't want him to taste. I just, like, hide it in the back corner. The corner of shame.
The shame corner.
We always like a good corner of shame.
The thing is that I'm so greedy that I can eat anything. I mean, I know Verena and Noor can attest to that. I'll eat any old shit, really sorry. But I just come into the test kitchen in the morning. I'm just so hungry. Just give me anything from the corner of shame. I'll have it. You know, it's not a problem.
Just go through the bins, really, and find.
But I think also, Sarit, I think you're right about this kind of etiquette of recipe testing. I think it's really important to know that, you know, people put themselves out there. It's your creation. It's really, really important for you. You've worked on it and you feel criticized if it doesn't work. I always say, you know, it's never personal, but also there's a way to put the the information out there. It's really not a problem, I think. And once you've been there a few times, you actually realize that it's really quite useful. So, you know, Jake was just presented a dish that's pink grapefruit and burrata salad with, it had tomatoes, but now it had artichokes macerated in some acidity, lemon juice. It's gone through quite a lot, and I realized that I'm seeing it at the kind of quite a, like, maybe take number 3 or 4. So I'm super careful not to kind of undermine the whole thing. He probably started testing it with Noor last week, so I shouldn't really be messing around with it too much. But I said, so let's just change the dressing a little bit and make I wanted to do like a syrupy grapefruity dressing that would bring it all together. But I think a lot about what it means, and I think Noor does the same, whereas if you're kind of in charge or you're guiding people through a process, you just want to approach it in a good way, because there's always tomorrow and you're going to have to test another recipe. You can't just kind of lay the law and say, okay, this is my way or the highway, because it just doesn't work that way.
Talking of that, Noor, you joined kind of an established thing. Was that intimidating? I mean, Ottolenghi, the company, has existed for 20 years now, yes?
Yeah, this year we're celebrating 20 years.
Amazing.
Maybe I'm wrong, but you didn't join from the kitchens into the test kitchen. You joined...
I did, actually.
Ah, okay, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I was working at Spinafield.
Ah, okay.
I actually applied from Bahrain, from my kitchen in Bahrain, okay. Sitting down thinking, I've got nothing to lose. I'm just going to apply. You know, I had all the books and I was working at the delis. Yeah, I was the day sous chef in the delis. And I didn't even really know much about the test kitchen. And I had this chef, this head chef at the time, Shalom. He was very encouraging of me to put things on the menu. And he was always like, oh, yeah, you know, you're very creative. You should give it a try in the test kitchen. And that's kind of what kind of, I was like, what is a test kitchen? I never really knew such a job existed, if I'm honest, because I'd worked my whole career just in a restaurant.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Because I know Ottolenghi has such a, you know, well-loved, you know, name and has such a, can I say, cult following with cooks. Even when I was working there, people would be so passionate about that name or about that place. And I think kind of like working in the test kitchen, I think is such a dream situation for such a lot of the Ottolenghi fans. You get like 13,000 applications a day for the test kitchen. You know, it is a dream job a little bit.
There's a lot of people that want to work in the test kitchen, but there's not everybody is, I'll put it diplomatically, cut out to, I think we really are totally focused on home cooks. And it's a completely different mindset to what you do when you cook in a restaurant. Like in a restaurant, there's a lot of showing off, you know, there's a lot of opportunities for you to do things in a particular way. And most chefs love that idea. And when they come to the test kitchen, they go, look, really? I mean, that's all I can put on the plate. I mean, there's that you can't really go as far as you would go in a restaurant. So it doesn't work for everyone. And the other thing is, I think, is really what like Verena and Noor have really in abundance and other team members as well, is that kind of quite a wide range of cuisines to cook. I mean, of course, Noor has her core. She's from the Middle East. So I think within the Bahrain or Iranian, Persian, Indian kind of influences. But you are very, very well versed in other cuisines, European, North American, etc. And it takes quite a lot of and a particular kind of experience to be able to cook with all those cuisines and flavors and ingredients. So what I'm trying to say is that these guys are super talented and they've got really lot. They bring a lot with them, and it's not an easy job because we've published so many recipes, like thousands, I would say now over the years. It's really hard to be creative and original. And even like Noor and I have these conversations also with Verna. Sometimes you just hit a brick wall, you know, like I remember Hugh Fearnley Whittingstall said someone says at one point, like, I just dread asparagus season because I need to think of the new asparagus recipe for spring.
Oh, it's coming.
You know, and what have I not
just
done?
Just looking
done
at them coming up from the ground.
And I think we also feel like that sometimes. But when you crack it, it's such a great feeling because you do realize there's a new way with an ingredient that you have known so well. You know, it's like, it's so amazing. Like the other week, Verena made this so delicious kohlrabi dish, which involves essentially just sweating kohlrabi with butter for like half an hour. And it was just so delicious and good. And it's something that she's brought from her childhood in a German household. Or half German, right? Shall I say?
Yeah.
Half
yeah.
German, semi-German. And you think like, what else can I learn about kohlrabi really at this point? But it is, it was so good. It was just so good. And the whole presentation and everything else that came with it. So it is frustrating, but if you have a lot of points of references and you can bring them all together and join them up, it's just, you really get incredible results.
Let's get down to the nitty-gritty. When it comes to actually developing a recipe, how do you go about this?
Because also, I mean, it's worth saying the test kitchen is part of the bigger Ottolenghi powerhouse, which is, it is a powerhouse, you know, it's...
Yeah, so occasionally like Calvin, who is the head chef for the whole group, Noor or I send him a bunch of recipes that developed in the test kitchen, or he asks for idea for a particular seasonal ingredient that they want to use up. It's a very informal relationship. You know, you send a bunch of recipes, says, see what you can do with that. And I'm sure you guys know that, you know, a recipe that's been tested at home is really not, it's never going to be the same when you cook it in a restaurant. The environment really dictates the recipe almost, you know, what you've got available, your equipment, your stuff around you. It just turns into something completely different. But you can just have like a small idea, you know, like for the... we have in Rovi, we have the celeriac shawarma and pita kind of dish. And we were working at that particular moment on something else in the test kitchen, that like the bekela sauce, you know, the Tunisian sauce with the spinach and an olive oil that's kind of slow cooked. And I said to Neil, who was just working on this, I mean, this is just what that dish needs. And all of a sudden, something that happened in the test kitchen ended up on the menu in Rovi. So we try to make these things happen as much as possible. But I think I'm constantly pushing for that to happen more. But
this is what makes it so fun and exhausting, but so fun and exciting. And
this is why I think the test kitchen, I'm so proud of it, because Noor and I were having these conversations in 2020, just as lockdown began. And we said to each other, like, okay, so what do we want to do? And Noor came up with all these fantastic ideas. You know, let's create an entity which is really just about showing and sharing and teaching and focusing on not just finished dishes, but on processes and opening the world, our world, to the rest of the world to see how things take shape and how things work out. But it came out of Noor's passion and now the rest of the team to open up and show these things.
And that was The Wonderful Shelf Love.
And that's The Wonderful Shelf Love.
I have to say, you know, I think you're all being very sort of modest about it, but I think actually something really hugely revolutionary happened there. Before Shelf Love, like, the model was always, you know, the front man and the development team behind. And putting it all on the stage now, nobody's done it before. Letting everyone be in the limelight is a huge deal. And now it's so much more common and so much more normal. I'm curious to see how conscious you are of it, but were you aware of that when it happens, or are you aware of the impact of it now?
I wasn't aware of the impact, no. Maybe I'm not out there enough.
I don't think before of anything similar. And now you can see a lot of big brands saying, this is the person that does recipes for me, or this is how we work on it. I think it's become common, and I don't think it was.
I don't know. I can't really comment about what's going on in the outside world, but no. But
you didn't consciously saying, "Hey, this was not done before."
No, this was a big deal, and I think it is a big deal because I've always mostly had co-authors on the book, and you know, whether it was Helen or Scully or Esme, or you know, people that worked on the books together, and their names were on covers, etc. And it was I always thought that that's the only way that I could do it. But this book was so much a brainchild of Noor, and the whole OTK concept, you know, that group effort as what we want to present to the world, it almost like had to happen. And I am aware that it's unusual. It also, it had a truth to it that I thought, like, you know, that's the truth of this process, and that's the truth of what happened to us.
And how did it feel for you guys, Noor and Verena? How was it when it came out?
Amazing. I mean, I also think that it hadn't been done before.
I think it's huge.
To be so open. It is to be so open about, you know, all the people that it takes to make a book, and also, you know, Noor's vision for the book and bringing us all in. And yeah, an honor, actually. I know that sounds really corny, but it really, I have no words.
Yeah, great for a podcast, Verena.
I know.
Noor, how did it feel for you the when Shelf Love came out and got so much love and success, and actually a lot of really raw love, you know, that book got?
I think I did get raw love because it was written with raw love. I think Shelf Love came at a time where I didn't expect it, you know, as the whole of 2020, and I didn't think that this book was going to happen or I'd be able to like put it together, and it happened very fast. You know, Yosef and I talked about the book in May. I was in Bahrain. He was in Ireland. We were in lockdown. And then I remember I was like, I'm coming back to London. And then we shot the book in September. All of the recipes that were there were things that we were like, is this using up what people have at home? Is this like a one pot meal that someone would make on a busy night? And is it humble, but still special enough to be Ottolenghi? And we wanted people to feel like not very intimidated, really welcome, like come and join us. Make your own test kitchen at home. The whole of that year and the pandemic brought a lot of people together in so many ways. And this was true for us as well. It was a very like cheesy, but very loving book.
It's a very, very good name. It's a very good name. Yeah. Talk about the next book.
It's called Extra Good Things.
Nice.
And the whole book is built around the idea that every single recipe in the book has an extra, like a takeaway, whether that's a sauce or a sprinkle or a pickle or some kind of condiment that you could repurpose and reuse in other ways. And it's very much in keeping in line with the way that we eat at the Test Kitchen. And I'm sure maybe lots of others, maybe also you too, you know, you just kind of grab whatever little sauce or pickle or shatta or whatever is in your fridge. And then you have like scrambled eggs, but it's like scrambled eggs with this hot sauce and, you know, and duka and all these kind of things. And every chapter is divided up into different condiments. Like pickles is one chapter, like sprinkles and crunchy things is another chapter. And yeah, so it's kind of like a 2-for-1 deal with this book. You get a recipe, but you also get a little extra that you could probably use again. Yeah.
Nice. We're all about the extra.
I'm all about the sprinkles and crunchy things.
Me too. It really does improve any meal. And they're so great for mixing and matching as well. So you can take, you know, the shatter from one recipe and use it for something completely different. Just, I love it. And that is literally how we just like raid the fridge and we're, oh, let's put this together.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Maybe if Shelf Love was a little bit of an experiment and something that's kind of like been validated because it did get a lot of love, did it change your work on Extra Good Things?
Well, I think what changed the game more than anything was Ottolenghi Simple. And Shelf Love was quite similar in that it's very approachable. It's what people are able to make on a weeknight. So people are not going to be so intimidated by that. Yeah.
Do you ever regret not calling Ottolenghi Simple Simplenghi?
No. No, because we had another name for it. We had like simple, plenty, we had plenty more, and then we had enough already.
Halas.
Don't think you can do that one.
Darlings, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us. Hugely inspiration as usual. Goodbye.
Thank you.
Obama out.
Obama, do that again, Obama.
Ciao, Mia. What do you mean, do over? That was...
No, do it again. It wasn't very nice, Itamar. I know you can do better.
We must try harder.
Again, but like normal. Be more normal.
You did come up in Ottolenghi and with your tam, and that is kind of like, for us, it's been the model of how a company works, of, you know, collaborative efforts with everyone playing to the strength. So... it's been a great sort of honor and really, really, you know, inspiring for us to circle back and touch base on that.
Thank you so much. This is very, very lovely to hear.
And I kind of want to say like that it's maybe we weren't extremely so gracious about this 10 years ago when we opened our business, but we thank our time with the company so much and everything that happened there in a way what led us to where we are. It was the first time we had this idea that actually you can do something yourself. You can be a human being that also does something. You know, the London we came to was a London of like massive chains and pizza expresses or like the big kind of Conrads or, and we never thought it's anything approachable for human beings, for an actual person to like think, oh, wow, I can also put myself out there. So this was hugely inspirational for us and it still is now. And that's why this conversation was so important to us. And we really thank you for taking the time to have it with us.
Thank you. This is really touching. And from one powerhouse to another.
We're like a power shack.
Power babies.
Power tent.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's really been a pleasure for us.
Itamar, Sarit, thank you so much. It was generous and lovely and wonderful to talk to you. It was the best podcast ever. Thank you so much. And good luck with the new restaurant.
Yay!
Yay! Good luck with the new book. Yay, yay, yay. This is it for this episode of Honey & Co. The Food Sessions. Thank you so much for listening and thank you to the people who help us make it. That's Miranda Hinckley, our incredible producer, John Scott, who mixes the episode, our own Louisa Cornford, who does everything and so much more, and to Daniel Winchell for our theme tune.
Yeah. We want to thank our guests on the show, Verena Lochmaler, Yotam Ottolenghi, and Noor Morad. It's been absolutely fascinating. We also implore you, go back to our back catalog, listen to so many interesting interviews, and there's loads of amazing content of us cooking up some recipes if you fancy a bit of a change. Good for going for a walk with your dog, a walk on Christmas Day.
It's good for cooking, Sarit. It's for cooking.
It's good for cooking as well. We're there for you for everything.
If you enjoyed this episode, please like and subscribe.
Have a great festive season, everyone.
And wishing you all the best new year.
Yay.
Go team!
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack
for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Tsinis.
Kayla Tsinis. I'm Kayla Tsinis, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.